3, we started the chapter on jihad, kitab al-jihad, bab wujud al-jihad, wujub al-jihad, wa fadl al-ghadwati wa ruhati, the chapter on the necessity of jihad and the virtues of going out in the morning and evening, out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we explained in detail that Islam is a religion that encourages peace, encourages harmony, encourages one living with another, one human being living with another human being in harmony. But sometimes, like how a doctor has to do an amputation, when there's no choice now, and there is greater harm than greater benefit, then sometimes the doctor now is forced to amputate the foot. It's not that they want to amputate the foot, but because the circumstances are, they are now forced to amputate the foot, then we find that now for the greater betterment of the rest of the body, for the whole body, for the greater betterment, now that amputation now becomes necessary. So like that, jihad is in our deen. It isn't such a thing that Islam encourages fighting and killing, but sometimes it becomes necessary that when the enemy and when the forces now have no choice but made the objective, the sole objective to destroy Islam, make the sole objective to destroy the Muslims. The Muslims have no choice now but to defend themselves, have no choice now but to see that for the greater betterment of deen, some type of effort, some type of strategy, some type of advancement is made in certain circumstances. Advancement is made to see that before, like how the doctor says, before it spreads, let us now cut and let us amputate. So before it spreads also, that analysis is made and seen now, here it is more beneficial to do jihad. So therefore we explain that it does, deen is such that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent as a mercy to the whole of mankind. He was so conscious and careful even of the rights of animals. When it comes to Qurbani times, how many adab we learn just for slaughtering that animal. That animal, that Qurbani animal, should be kept in a place where it can't see the other animals being slaughtered. A sharp knife should be used. The animal should be treated properly. So much of regard for animals. Can you imagine how much more regard Islam has for human beings? So therefore what happens generally is the media has such a powerful influence, such a powerful impact, that even Muslims, wa na'uzu billah, start believing that Islam is barbaric. Islam is not barbaric. Islam actually is the most humane religion you can get. But it has certain controls, certain interventions, certain things in place that should the deen need to be protected. And Islam also caters for that. That yes, you will get circumstances and situations that the enemy and people will go all out to see how they can destroy Islam. As the ayat I quoted yesterday, Allah Pak mentions, يُرِيدُونَ أَن يُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِمْ, that these people, the kuffar, they will try their best and they desire to blow out that light of iman. Allah says, وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ, Allah Pak will complete his light, Allah will complete his nur, وَلُوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ, even though those that disbelieve, they dislike it, they don't want to see it for whatever reason. Sometimes it's because of misinformation and sometimes it's because of the hasad and the dirt and that gandagi that is in the heart, so they can't see Islam rising. Allah is giving us glad tidings. Wallahu mutimmu nuri, Allah Pak will complete his nur, he will complete his deen. Walu karihal kafirun, even though they dislike it. So this in itself is basharat for us. How many years and years and years, over the generations and periods, there has been an onslaught against Islam. Allah Pak has made it such that our deen is just growing and growing and growing. MashaAllah, in our masjid we got a jamaat here from Transkai, a full jamaat of students, of youngsters, all going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Something unimagined before, that we'll see a jamaat in our masjid, that they're all waiting for their visas now, youngsters, all waiting, local brothers, all waiting to get their visas to go to India, to go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the deen, Allah Pak is spreading it in different parts of the world, different countries, different continents. This is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore this muqaddama, this introduction is very necessary before this type of chapter is with his wealth, with his own wealth. Therefore when a person goes out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the elders always say, apna jaan aur apna maal, our wealth and our lives. So there they get, this is coming from here, jihad bil maal, a person strives with his wealth. The next thing is jihad bil qalam, that sometimes it will be necessary to write. People will be posting on different groups and different angles and different forums against Islam. And you must get, and you will get this group of people that will respond in defense of Islam. So their defense is using the qalam. So they make jihad bil qalam. They're writing to try and clear the record. So So the innocent people that are reading now understand that there's two sides to what we are hearing. There are two prerogatives, there are two views. We are only hearing one side, we are not hearing the real side and the clear side. So this is jihad bil qalam. The next is jihad ma'an nafsi wa shaitan. The just person, he makes jihad against that internal enemy. One is the external enemy and one is that internal enemy. Jihad ma'an nafsi wa shaitan. Jihad with that nafs and shaitan. Which is also very, very important. Sometimes a person is so careful that let's fight what's on the outside. But what is within the home, what is within that body that is taking him towards haram, that he's not worried about. And that adu, many times ulama explain, is even worse than that enemy that is outside. Why? That when enemy that is outside is there for a waqti period, for a temporary period, that outside enemy is there. But the enemy that is inside is there with you right up to the mouth. Right up to the mouth is trying to attack you. Attack the mind, attack the thinking, attack the actions, attack the way a person behaves, the way a person speaks, the way a person thinks. So continuously this enemy from within is attacking a person, but very seldom do we think that there's some effort that has to be made against that internal enemy, which is known as nafs and shaitan. The next thing is jihad ma'al kufar. This one is the one that is commonly known. Sometimes there will be a situation when people, when kuffar will be planning to attack the Muslims, or sometimes it will be in the interest of the Muslims also to make that type of advance. Sometimes the person will have to, or sometimes the Muslims will have to make that type of advance to save themselves from being caught in a situation where suddenly the enemy has already made that advance. And then you get the fifth type, jihad ma'al fusaq. That in every generation, in every time, you will get people that will try to change the deen. People that will come with new ideas, people that will come with new philosophies and make Islam seem outdated. They'll come and tell us that no, 2:1 as far as inheritance is concerned, this doesn't seem logical. It should never be like that. They don't understand. So now they'll come and they'll try and change that. They'll say, no, we should legalize na'udhu billah lesbianism and ladies getting together, men getting together. They'll come with new ideas and they'll say the Quran hasn't catered for this type of thing. In every generation you'll get these fusaq, these type of people that will come and they'll attack Islam from within the ranks of Islam. So they'll need to be for a group of people that will take up that courage and will take up that fervor and will take up that courage, so to say, to work and to work against these type of people. So people being out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, also making some type of jihad, they're also striving out, because the level of iman of people is dropping to such an extent. It's gone right down. So some people are striving with their time and their energies and their wealth to see how the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes up. So this is also one type of striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tomorrow we will continue, inshallah. We'll start with the different ayat that Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi has brought to try and show us that it's such an important aspect of deen. The deen has catered for everything. That a person, a Muslim, is not found suddenly as a coward. A Muslim suddenly is not found in a position, he doesn't know what to do. So Islam has a total balance. When a person has got both this type of anger and he's got love, then this person is a person that has got balance in him. He's a person that has got moderation. If a person only got anger, nobody will go near him. Everyone will keep far from him. If a person has only got love, he's got no type of anger, people will take advantage of him. People will eat him up. People will swallow him. But a person who's got both these things and he knows in what proportion to use both, this is a balanced man. This is a perfect person. Islam is perfect. It's got both elements. It's got the element when a person needs to defend himself. It's got some elements for that. It's got elements to win people over, to promote harmony, to promote love, to foster unity. Islam has all these things in place. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of appreciating this beautiful deen of Islam. As we know, today is Friday. We should try and read Surah Kahf. Come early for Jumu'ah Salah. Try and read plenty Darood and Salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Try and take advantage of the time between Asr and Maghrib. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallahumma, wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Alhamdulillah.